A strong biblical foundation is the baseline for Christian growth. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to build on principles from God's Word.
This is exactly what God is saying to us. Don't get too close to the edge. Why is it that so many Baptists want to know, how close can I get to sin and it's still okay? How much of this show can I watch? How much of this can I do? And how close can I get to the world and it's still okay? Whatever happened to the idea of let's just stay far away from it?
Spiritual discipline sounds great in theory, but putting it into practice takes time and determination. In our series, Building Below the Baseline, Pastor Chappell illustrates the importance of building the part of life that no one else sees, but God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our churches and homes today need Christians willing to build their lives on eternal truth rather than worldly trends. Our series today is designed to give us practical lessons that will help us pursue a life marked by biblical wisdom. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Building a Spirit-Filled Life.
Any truly born-again person possesses the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you, but it is quite different to be possessed of the Holy Spirit or under the control of the Holy Spirit. For many Christians are very carnally minded. They are very proudful in their spirit. They are filled with their own thoughts, with their own natural ways. They are not dead to self. They are very much alive to self. While they may still be saved, they are not going to have the power of God upon their lives unless they are seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God in their life. And so the Bible says here, be filled with the Spirit. Andrew Murray said men ought to seek with their whole hearts to be filled with the Spirit of God. Without being filled with the Spirit, it is utterly impossible that an individual Christian or church can ever live or work as God desires. Take, for example, the matter of witnessing. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You see, without the Spirit's presence, there was no power. And may I say, without the Spirit's presence, there is no power. I watch men who at one time, God blessed them in their preaching and in their soul winning and in their outreach, and it seemed to be an abundance of fruit. And then there can come a time when they think, well, I have arrived and I've been here this long and I have this much authority and I know this much. And we begin to rely on self and on the flesh. Not nearly as many people are saved when that Spirit comes into our lives, because people aren't saved because of what we know or how long we've been somewhere. They are only going to be saved as we are completely yielded to the Holy Spirit and as God is working through His instruments by His Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so we must resist that tendency to revert to the means and to rely upon the flesh. And we see this phrase, be filled with the Spirit. It is in the imperative mood. In other words, it is not a suggestion tonight. This verse that I preached to you tonight is not God's suggestion to His church. It is God's command to His church. Be filled with the Spirit. In fact, anything less than the fullness of the Spirit is disobedience to God. And so, my friend, when we are living according to the dictates of our own heart, when we are unable to forgive, when we are unable to somehow express the love or the joy or the peace of God, we've got to be the ones to step back and repent and say, Lord, I've become filled with myself, my thought, my worry, my ambition. And Lord, I want to confess and forsake that. And I want to yield to your Spirit and be completely filled and controlled by your Spirit. It is also a passive verb. That means that being filled with the Spirit is not something that we do. It is something that is done for us. You see, it's not that I can say, okay, I'm filled with the Spirit. That's not how it works. I can repent of sin. I can be emptied of self. I can yield to the Holy Spirit, but it is God that fills with His Holy Spirit. It is something that is done by the hand and by the blessing of God. And so there is a Spirit-filled path. And it is the path of circumspect living. It is the path of sanctified living. And a man or a woman that would be spirit-filled must walk circumspectly. He must be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is. And that is his sanctification. That would be the pathway of the spirit-filled life. And the purpose of the spirit-filled life is seen very clearly in this simple fact that God commands us that we would be filled with the Spirit. That is to say, be yielded in order that he might have his way with us, that he might endue us with power and with wisdom, and that he might give to us that anointing that we must have in order to live the everyday Christian life that is truly the normal Christian life. It is the Spirit-filled Christian life. And so there is a path. It's a circumspect path. And there is a purpose, and that is to be a yielded Christian. And then notice thirdly, there is the Spirit-filled product. There is a product. Now, when a man or woman is building below the baseline, and when they're having their time with the Lord, and they're allowing the Lord to convict them of sin, and they're willing to confess and forsake, and they're yielding to God and seeking the fullness of His Spirit, and they're seeking to be controlled by His Spirit, when that abiding walk is happening, when no one else sees it, when that below the baseline relationship is evident, soon, as the house begins to be built, there will be signs of life in that house, like lights going on in the windows. You'll be able to sense in that superstructure that something was done well at the baseline. And let me show you what I mean. Notice in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. No doubt we've read Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Those are not the fruits of the Spirit. That is the fruit of the Spirit. And so if we live in the Spirit, the Bible says, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, when we're living in the Spirit, there's going to be a product. There's going to be a change. There's going to be something different about our everyday lives. Andrew Murray said, may not a single moment of my life be spent outside the light, love, and joy of God's presence. Not a moment without entire surrender of myself as a vessel for Him to fill full of His Holy Spirit and His love. Now, friend, I don't know of anyone save the Lord Jesus Christ who has lived every moment of their life full of the Holy Spirit of God. But every one of us ought to desire to live our lives in that fashion every single day. Lord, not a moment today without the fullness of your Spirit. Not a moment today without every moment being yielded to your Spirit, obeying every impulse of the Holy Spirit, practicing the presence of the Lord, walking step by step. Lord, how do you want me to deal with this situation? Lord, what do you want me to say to my wife? Lord, do you want me to witness here to this person? I sense the Lord is leading me to give this person a gospel tract. The Lord will lead you to church, no doubt. The Holy Spirit will lead you to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and, yea, filled with the Holy Spirit, then there comes a product. There's something different about this person. There's a difference about their everyday life. And let me tell you some of the product. First of all, it is a product of joy. It is a product of joy. Notice verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. A product of joy. It tells us here, speaking to yourselves. Notice this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. It is a state of expressing our thoughts into words, in this case, into songs. And joy does not rest merely in our circumstances. It rests in the confidence we have. It rests in the presence that we know, in the abiding relationship with God, in the inner man. Acts 16 and verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You see, sometimes as you have been a Christian for a while, you'll find that the saddest Christians, the most forlorn Christians, the most beleaguered Christians are those who are filled with self and self's agenda. But the happiest Christians, no matter what outer circumstances are happening, have something inside with the Lord that allows them to go on. It allows them to sense and to know the joy of the Lord. So we speak to ourselves. But then it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I would make this observation to you tonight, that a Spirit-filled Christian, whether they can carry a tune or not, enjoys singing to the Lord. A Spirit-filled Christian, someone that has put self and selfish cares aside, and someone that is just yielding and saying to the Lord, "Fill me, Lord," they're going to want to sing to the Lord. They're going to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Notice in Colossians 3 again, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Grace is a disposition created by the Holy Spirit. Grace is that disposition so that when someone slugs you right in the face and you don't slug them back, it's because the Holy Spirit restrains you. It's grace that causes us to give when the fleshly man would be selfish. It's grace that causes us to sing when the fleshly man doesn't really want to sing. It's grace that causes us to love when we have not yet been loved. Grace is a disposition created by the Holy Spirit of God. And one of the manifestations of that grace, according to the Word of God, Colossians 3:16, is that you will sing and make melody to the Lord from your heart. Every once in a while, I'll just kind of look out, and there's two ways you can tell how things are going in church. Number one is by the spirit at the offering. If everybody gets nervous at offering time, that's not a good sign. When it's offering time, we ought to say, "Well, get to worship the Lord in my offerings now." And that's the spirit we ought to have. It's time to give to the Lord. The second way to know the spirit of a church is by the singing. If it's singing time and people are looking at their phone, the Holy Spirit's quenched. If it's singing time and people are looking at other people and people are distracted, that's not a good sign. By the way, when the choir stands to sing, let's put everything else aside and listen to what's being sung, because they're singing unto the Lord. When it's time to sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," you might want to stop and sing. But I'm just saying, someone that's Spirit-filled, it's just going to come forth from their heart. They want to sing to the Lord. The product is a product of joy. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Were they happy that they were in jail? Was it comfortable being in jail? No, but someone was in there with them, and that was the Holy Spirit of God. And it came forth from their lives. Singing, and notice it says making melody. Notice the Bible says that we are to sing spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart. The word melody speaks of striking the chord. It speaks of that part of the song that dominates and resonates to the heart. And the joy of the heart will produce song and will vibrate song forth as we sing and make melody from our heart. Psalm 40 and verse 1, the Bible says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." Listen to this. "And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord." Listen, I don't have to doubt that I can take just about any of you and I can find out when you may have been in high school, and I could probably find a certain song that would take you in your mindset right back to that period of time. It might be "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog," and boom, you're going to go right back there in your mind. And it might be some other song or group that was popular, and it's just somewhat easy to revert back to that moment in time. And oftentimes, help me here, it might have been a fleshly moment. Somebody help me there. And you can correlate that song to that moment, and it might not have always been a spiritual moment. But the fact of the matter is, when you got saved, God put a new song in your heart. Some of you might recall for the first time when you heard the song "Amazing Grace" or "Wonderful Grace of Jesus" or "Victory in Jesus." And by the way, some of you that have been raised around it and you're second and third generation Christians, be careful of the idea, "Well, here we go again, singing Victory in Jesus. I've sung that all my life." Thank God you've sung that all your life. Thank God you were raised on that, not like the rest of the world, raised on rap. The fact of the matter is that when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you want to sing a different kind of a song. It's a spiritual song. It's a new song. Fanny Crosby was only 6 weeks old when she developed a minor eye irritation. It was a simple irritation. Even in 1820, the year that she was born, it wasn't considered threatening or something that would cause blindness. All the doctor had to do was apply certain medicines to her eyes, and the only doctor that treated Fanny Crosby was, however, a little bit careless. He put too much medicine in her eye, and she went totally and permanently blind from that particular type of medicine. Later in life, she said of the doctor, "If I could meet him now, I would say thank you over and over again for making me blind." That's because she saw her blindness as a gift from God. It's what helped her to see Jesus in ways that others seldom saw Jesus. She was thankful for her blindness because it had given her spiritual insight that she would never have possessed without her blindness. And it was because of that blindness that she wrote songs such as "Blessed Assurance," "Jesus is Mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, Fanny Crosby wrote. "To God be the glory. Great things He hath done." A song we often sing was written by a blind woman who was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You see, when God's Spirit is controlling your life, the circumstances of life will not necessarily dictate the presence or absence of joy. When God's Spirit is in your life, you'll be able to know the presence and the joy of God. And so we see the product of joy. But then notice, secondly, the product of gratitude. One of the ways you can tell if someone is filled with the Spirit is by their joy in singing and by the attribute of joy in their life. Did you know another way is by the gratitude that comes forth from their life? A grateful person is often a Spirit-filled person. Notice in verse 20, the Bible says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now notice that phrase there, "giving thanks always for all things unto God." Let's say that together. Giving thanks always. Now, come on, help me here tonight. How many of you would say, "I don't do that in my selfish flesh. I just don't give thanks always." Anybody want to be honest with me tonight? How many of you are like me? Sometimes we can get selective with our gratitude. We're really, really thankful when there's a German chocolate cake, but not really thankful if it's lemon meringue pie. Or vice versa, depending on your taste. You're really, really thankful for some things and not so thankful for other things. But the Bible says to the spiritual Christian, giving thanks always for all things. Gratitude is one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. A person that's just grateful for the things that God is doing and grateful to know that God is in them. Spurgeon said, "When we bless God for mercies, we usually prolong them. When we bless God for miseries, we usually end them. Praise is the honey of life which a devout heart extracts from every bloom of providence and grace." In other words, whatever providence is allowing, whatever is happening in our lives, learn to praise God. Learn to remember there is a reason for what is happening in our life. And there should be the product of joy and the product of gratitude. And then let me give you one final product of that person that is building below the baseline. That person that's walking in the Spirit and seeking the fullness of God, that person is going to be a person that has a measure of joy. That person is going to be a person that has a measure of gratitude beyond the norm. And I want to tell you thirdly, that person is going to be a cooperative person. They're going to get along with others. How many of you, when you went to school, had a little thing, maybe in kindergarten, first or second grade, and you were graded on getting along well with others? Was I the only one? Did anybody else have that? Let me see. All right. Gets along. Come on, raise your hand. Gets along well with others. Did any of you get graded on that? Gets along well with others. How many of you know that if you do not get along well with others in the first grade, it's a long road from there? And there are some people like that. They don't get along with well. Doesn't get along well with others. And many of you teachers perhaps have marked that. Does not get along well with others. Well, let me tell you this. When Jesus comes into your life, and when you're dying to self on a daily basis, and seeking to be filled with God's presence by God's Spirit, you're yielding to Him, and you're asking for this. There is going to be something about you that is not only joyful and not only grateful, but also you're going to be a person that everybody wants on their team. You might not even be able to dribble the ball, but you've got such a good attitude, they're going to want you anyways because of the attitude that you bring. Notice what it says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The Spirit-filled person is willing to take the position of a servant. The Spirit-filled wife is willing to help and support her husband. The Spirit-filled man is willing to submit to his wife. The spiritual Christian is willing to yield and give someone else the way rather than always demanding the way. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to be a minister and give his life a ransom for many. Spirit-filled men are humble men. I believe that God in many ways and in great measure has allowed his Spirit to move freely in this church. Sometimes it's because all of us have repented of sin and humbled ourselves. And sometimes God has allowed trials to bring humbling into our lives. And sometimes it's been the result of revival meetings and other times of preaching messages. But through all of the years, we have seen a measure of unity and a measure of striving together for the faith of the gospel. And perhaps to the outside person, someone might say, what in the world's going on over there? How do you get so many Baptists to walk together in that way? And I submit to you, there is only one way to get any group of Christians to have the power of God and the unity of God. And that is as all of us individually seek to be fully controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is not divided. The Spirit of God will bring unity to your home. If you can take two Christians and have them in unity with God, they'll be in unity one with another. If we were to take these two pianos and have the same master tuner as we do come and tune them, they'll be in tune with one another. If these two pianos were not in tune with one another, we would have a terrible time singing our congregational singing. But because the same master tuner tunes these pianos every few months, we have wonderful harmony and we sing and make melody to the Lord. And just as these two pianos must be tuned by the same master tuner, every one of us must be tuned by the same master tuner in order to bring beautiful harmony in our marriages, in our ministry, to the glory of God. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to see a church serving and loving and helping and singing and giving. But that will not be the case if each of us individually are not getting alone below the baseline in the part of our lives where no one else sees us and it's just between us and the Lord and we're confessing sin and we're seeking the fullness of God and we're asking Him to fill us and control us and use us and be glorified through us. We're turning off the distractions of life and turning off the television, turning off those types of negative, sinful things that would draw us away, walking circumspectly and seeking to be filled with the Spirit. There is a spiritual walk. It's a circumspect walk. There is a spiritual way that is to be filled, to yield ourselves to the Lord. And there is a Spirit-filled way that God would have for each and every one of us. That would be joy and gratitude, and that would be cooperating one with another. Now, I can't tell, and you can't tell, if perhaps we're neglecting below the baseline to build these foundational principles into our lives. Someone may not ever know that you're skipping time in prayer, and they might not ever know the selfishness or the covetousness or the issues of the heart. Those things are not normally known immediately, but in time they manifest. And in time when the storm comes, when Hurricane Ike came, the whole neighborhood knew that there was one family that had built right. I don't know who lives in your neighborhood. And I don't know what may come through your neighborhood. And I don't know what kind of spiritual storm is raging. I just know this. God has given us tonight to build right below the baseline. To make sure that we are dead to self and alive to the Spirit, that when the storm comes, your life will still be standing to the glory of God.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. and thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.